Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Cod Cabin, the only Massachusetts-related podcast where it's as beautiful as a summer's day on the green in Cohasset and as nice and lush as the deep blue seas of Hull. I'm Adam Bass. Joining me, as always, is Jack Leary, Logan Rabe, and Jesse Hahn. And, of course, for those who do not know, the Boston election and the election season itself starts in 9 days. Now, guys, I'm going to start things off with a hot take. Now, this is very controversial, so, you know, be warned. I think Michelle Wu is going to win.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. But for those who are pretty in the know about this, Michelle Wu, city councilor at large from Roslindale, is up against fellow city councilor at large, Anissa Sabi George from Dorchester, for Boston mayor. And this whole race to replace or to be the successor of Marty Walsh, it's been Wu's race for the longest time. She leads by 3 polls now, by about 20 to 30 points lead, 20 to 30 point lead from the high 50s, to the low 60s as her range. Whereas Anissa Sabi George has been stuck in the low 30s throughout this entire race. And it's been very complicated for her to really pick up the pace after the general or after the primary election. And yeah, there's not really much I can say about this race that's happening. Guys, opening the field up to you, your thoughts on the mayoral race.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much set in stone. Michelle Wu has such a large lead at this point in every metric that I think it's basically a foregone conclusion. I think the more interesting results, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later, is going to be in the city council elections, mm-hmm. Both at large and in the ward races.
Yeah, we will definitely get to those, but obviously, you know, this is the starting course and we need to get through that. You know what they say, you gotta have your vegetables before you eat the candy. Jesse, you've been also noting something about the race, and that is Anissa Sabi George's favorables, which are not too great from what you've posted on Twitter.
Yeah, so Data for Progress, which is a Dem polling firm, which has done great work around the nation, especially in primaries. This is a general, but basically a primary, just given how deep blue mass Boston is.
Nonpartisan general.
Right. Yeah. So in that poll, Michelle Wu was positive net 42 in her favorables, which is on par with Elizabeth Warren and Markey, who are at 44 and 43. But Anissa Sabi George is only at plus 10. 36% of likely voters have an unfavorable impression of her. So clearly the attacks against her and you know, just people's preconceived notions about her have not been favorable to her at all.
Mm-hmm. Jack, your thoughts, you know, you're in Boston right now. You're the closest one to all the hubbub. So your thoughts, sure, on it.
Although I don't know how representative of the electorate my student neighborhood in Brighton will be. But building off of Jesse's point about favorables, one thing from that Data for Progress poll I thought was particularly funny and I guess emblematic of Massachusetts as a whole was that I think in that same poll where Anissa Sabi George only had favorables of about net 10, Charlie Baker was pulling like net 35 approval, I think, in the city of Boston, which, you know, voted for Joe Biden by a landslide and narrowly voted against Baker himself in 2018. But yeah, so, I guess I'm not.
Yeah, sorry, Jack. I just want to clarify this. Baker only has a net approval of 35 there.
Boston, he has a Boston net approval of 35.
Okay.
Which is, you know, insane. But I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. I'm surprised at the margin of this race, and that I didn't think that Michelle Wu would be winning by as much as she is, just by virtue of the fact that, you know, this is a race where there's obviously significant differences between the two in the Overton window that we're in. But I just didn't think it was possible for Anissa Sabi George to be doing as badly as she's been doing. And I don't know if that's just like a me thing or anyone else is kind of surprised at how she can't really seem to break out of the 30s and low 40s.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Jack, because as soon as the general election was over, primary election, you started to see the establishment of Boston and of voter blocks or people from very important voter blocks start to line up with Michelle Wu. At first, I thought that District 4 city councilor and rival in the mayor's race, Andrea Campbell, would endorse Wu right off the bat. But no, it's Kim Janey who did that, the former or the current acting mayor of Boston. So I did think that Michelle Wu had an advantage, but I didn't think it would be on the level of someone like Tom Menino versus Brett back in 1993. Jesse, you've been talking about those margins as well, because Menino won by 64-36 there.
Yeah, going back to Jack's point, I think I didn't really expect it to be this large either, but looking at the preliminary map, noticing how concentrated AG support was, especially in West Roxbury and Dorchester in a certain portion of South Boston, it's really hard to build out from when you're running up the sod level numbers in those areas and doing quite poorly in a lot of other portions of this city. Like Michelle Wu, she did relatively well in a huge portion of the city. She has better get out the vote operation. And if your neighbors support her, you're definitely more likely to support her. And AEG just doesn't have a large enough base, I guess, to have that influence. At least they're not geographically dispersed enough to be reasonably effective.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Logan.
Yeah. And people I've talked to, a lot of people I've talked to actually don't even know who AEG is still. Feels like everyone knows who Wu is. Wu's been, you know, involved in city politics for years. And AEG's kind of been more on the sideline and not in people's minds like Wu has.
Yeah, to go back to the Tom Menino thing, you know, he built his entire city council career for 10 plus years before running for mayor, just getting to know people and just work and building a name for himself. But yeah, AEG, I think one of the big things that makes AEG less favorable is that not many people know who she is. Getting out there and just showing up is a big, important part of politics, especially in municipal politics in a place like Boston. You know, you have to have the intimacy of talking to voters, really just showing up. I've often said that Michelle Wu is better at on-the-fly politics than prepared politics, because we've seen the debates play out, and we do think that Anissa Asabi-George is a little better at debating than Wu. But at the end of the day, I think what matters is being on the streets and being out there. And that gives her an ability to pulpit, to be a name, and could even help her when she's probably elected mayor, get things through city council.
I don't really think, you know, I think showing up, you know, and actually being involved in the community is a staple of municipal politics, no matter where you go, not just Boston. But I would say that Michelle Wu's strength, obviously, you know, she is a very well-known figure locally. But I would say that her strength is from her platform, you know, of just being a very vocal advocate for the city on the city council. I mean, you know, she is the more stereotypical online candidate in the sense that, you know, she's had a large platform that has gone beyond the city council and beyond Boston for as long as she's been in elected office. And I think, on the contrary, Anissa Asabi-George is almost more of the community candidate, you know, where she has run, you know, very strongly on her background as a public school teacher, a small business owner. You know, I think that she fits the mold more traditionally, her and Kim Janey as well, as more of like the community oriented candidate focused on kitchen table issues, while Michelle Wu is the more, you know, transformational, progressive candidate that focuses on more, you know, issues that matter more to, you know, political types. That sounded like I was ragging on Michelle Wu there, and I'm really not trying to. I just think it's a difference in style between, you know, I think Anissa Asabi-George is a more typical municipal candidate, and Michelle Wu, while she's been very good at the on-the-ground stuff, don't get me wrong, I don't think that's necessarily her brand, if that makes sense.
I don't know. I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, she's been doing Michelle Wu has been doing this for years, and just like Asabi-George, even before we were all kind of shoved into the online ecosystem thanks to COVID. And I do think that comes from her, you know, building a name in city council on the issue. So maybe it's a combination of what, you know, you and I said on that one, Jack.
To Jack's point, I think it's a reflection of the difference in demographics in the WU and AEG support bases, especially in regards to education. Like WU's base is significantly more educated than AEG's base, which is usually just white working class people who only graduated college, maybe took some, only graduated high school, maybe took some college. And people who get more education are more likely to be online. So I think Michelle Wu mastered the art of digital outreach, while AG is more on the ground. But that on the ground appeal in Boston is kind of being born.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, you know, I don't mean to construe Michelle Wu as a strictly online candidate. And when I'm talking about her ability to build her brand and use her platform, I'm talking about more than just Twitter. Like I remember back in January 2019, which, you know, was probably before she was planning on running for mayor in 2021. You know, I remember reading an op-ed when there were proposed tea cuts about, you know, her in the Boston Globe writing about making the tea free. You know, she... You don't see, and by all means, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't see Anissa Asaibi George writing op-eds in the New York Times, you know, and working media like that. You know, that's the kind of difference that I'm trying to highlight there.
Yeah, it's definitely a brand thing. You know, even before, you know, I was still looking at MA04 back in 2020. I knew a little bit about WU, not too much because I didn't study Boston politics just yet, but it was like, can you name one city councilor off the bat? And I'll go, oh, Michelle Wu. Anyways, speaking of city council, let's talk about those politics. For those who don't know, Michelle Wu, AEG, were both city councils at large, along with their fellow city councilor at large, Michael Flattery and Julia Major?
Mejia, I think.
Mejia. Thank you.
We are sorry.
We are sorry. Yeah. and because of that, there needs to be city council at large elections. And right now, both the two I mentioned beforehand are the incumbents, and they are the top two spots. And there's still sort of a fight for third and fourth. And one of those candidates is Ruth Z. Lujun. Thank you. Ruth Z. Lujun, who's sort of the progressive pick and actually came in third in the primary elections. So, and I think that has to do with, you know, the progressives rallying behind her and giving her that lane as the number one progressive pick to go to city council at large. Now it's sort of a jump ball for fourth, I would say. And, you know, one of the big candidates that could work in that scenario is Aaron Murphy, who comes from Dorchester, has a more moderate platform, and sounds like another city council at large that we once knew that is now running for mayor.
Yeah, it's funny how the reflection, you can see the reflections of WU and AEG in the at-large city council race, especially considering how Louis June works for Elizabeth Warren, just like Michelle Wu did. And Aaron Murphy really has the same support base as AEG. So if those two get elected, the ideological change in terms of at-large seats will be basically zero. But, you know, not far behind on her tail is David Halbert, who is a more progressive candidate. And maybe in the final weeks, there can be some coalescence behind him from the WU contingent.
Yeah, I think the interesting story in the city council at large race is the, you know, I think the establishment, the progressive establishment, I guess, you know, I guess establishment is the wrong word. Progressive forces in the city have, you know, circled the wagons around Ruth Z and their support behind her, you know, without much of a fight. But there is an interesting split, I think, between progressives in terms of supporting David Halbert for one of the at-large spots and Carlo Montero, who are both progressive picks. And both of them placed outside the top four in the preliminary. They both got around, I want to say, 6.5% of the vote. And it's unlikely that both of them managed to make it in next week. So I think it'll be really interesting to see which of those two candidates. I think David Halbert is doing a better job of racking up those endorsements and working that GOTV program. But it's interesting to see the divergence there is my point.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at David Halbert's Twitter And his latest endorsement is John Santiago.
Really?
I'm sure we don't really think of as
the
being
kingmaker in Boston.
right.
Oh my God.
That will certainly be interesting to see what happens there.
There's also, is Althea Garrison actually running for city council at large, or is that just a joke?
Yes.
She is. Okay.
She got seventh in the preliminary.
Has John Santiago endorsed in the Woo AEG race? Because didn't he endorse Kim Janey in the preliminary, correct?
Yes, he did. Yeah. I don't think he endorsed anyone. And I don't think oh God, who's the other one who ran for mayor? I'm forgetting his name.
John Barros.
John Barros. I don't think he's endorsed anyone either.
Yeah, I don't think he's swaying much votes.
Hmm.
Win one precinct, John Barros. Give him the credit he deserves.
Okay, one precinct.
One precinct can go a long way in politics. So some other races we're looking at are, of course, the open numbered races. Those are Ward 4. Yeah, it is Ward 4. No, District.
Yeah.
I'm getting Newton politics in here. District 4, which was Andrea Campbell's seat. District 6, which was Martin O'Malley's seat. And District 7, which is Kim Janey's seat. The one that has gotten the most media attention on Twitter is District 6. That's with Kendra Hicks and Tanner.
Tamer,
not Tanner. Okay. and so that one's gotten a lot of attention because both of them are very, very in hot contention right now and sort of really fighting in terms of a race. Though I think districts 4 and 7 sort of get thrown under the carpet, unfortunately, because of that.
Yeah, 4 and 7 are also the most open, I'd say. 4, I think the top two candidates got, it's like 25% and 18%.
Mm-hmm.
Districts, yeah, 7th district, 26% and 17%. So those, I think, have a lot more room for each of the candidates to make their case. Whereas in district, District 6, Hicks and Tamer were pretty much the only two candidates with a shot of winning.
And Hicks won by a decent margin, didn't she?
Yes. So she got 50%. Tamer got 43%.
That's a 7-point win.
Yeah. Although I'm sure that the turnout's going to be looking very different. And I wouldn't be surprised if this race shifts significantly one way or the other.
I would say that propensity probably favors Mary Tamer in terms of the November election versus the preliminary, just because mm-hmm. Not to reduce it too much, but it's educated Jamaica Plain progressives against, you know, working class, non-college white people in West Roxbury, you know, and one of those groups is less likely to turn out than the other.
Okay, go ahead.
No, just that Mary Tamer probably benefits from a higher turnout November election.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
That probably has a lot to do with how Woo and AEG are mobilizing their voters.
Right. West Roxbury, I think, is going to be the neighborhood to look at. Because I think we're pretty confident that AEG will do pick your dictator levels of margins in Dorchester. But West Roxbury, if it depends if Michelle Woo could make take a sliver of the vote there. Because
I think the margins won't be as bad, but AEG would probably win.
No, I do agree that she'll win, but I do think, you know, I didn't expect her to not win by a colossal amount in the primary. You know, we looked at West Roxbury. She won, but not like she didn't win in a landslide there, which I found surprising.
I think these, I know one of the council races I've been looking at is the 7th district, where the more progressive candidate, Tanya Anderson, is running against the student named Roy Owen Sr. Tanya got about 27% in the prelim. Roy Owens got 17%. You know, Roy Owens is a really colorful character.
Tell me more about
him. I saw a video from our friend whose name I forget at the moment when he was riding in his car.
Is it Tori Bedford?
Yeah, Tori Bedford.
Sorry. That's the one.
With the loudspeaker saying, the only reason for living is to vote for me.
Oh. Hey, look, if you're running for politics, you got to have some sort of ego on you. I mean, that takes some kahunas to do, you know? Like, have the chutzpah, you know? Go for it. You be your best self when running for office. District 7 is mostly Roxbury, if I'm correct, right?
District 7, yes, it's Kim Janey's seat.
Right, yeah, Kim from Roxbury, that's it. That'll be interesting. Another one to look at, and I don't think he's going to lose, District 3, that's with Frank Baker. Baker is considered by many to be the most conservative, or he's like the Joe Manchin of the Boston City Council, stubborn as a mule, but still probably votes with the council anyways, but will raise some hell about it. And that's the one I know our good friend Scam Tarly is looking at, even though I do not think that Baker will lose. He's an incumbent. District 3. Where is District 3, actually?
Dorchester.
There you go. That's all you need to say, and you'll just seal the deal right there.
Yeah, it's likely that Frank Baker's district will be AEG's best in November.
Oh, yeah, especially 1612. Ward 16, Precinct 12, for those who are not as politically avid as us. Even I didn't know what 1612 was until election night.
What do you think? They had 60% turnout in the prelim. What do you think they can get in the general?
65? If we're really talking about North Korea numbers, then turnout will probably be 110% there.
120! Come on now, don't.
I think AG gets over 90% and there's like 70% turnout. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I do think that maybe the Boston colleges areas will turn out a little more because, you know, you're now down to two candidates and, you know, it's November. They're still there. Excuse me.
No. If you're hoping for college students to turn out, you're probably
well, not mistaken. Big spy. Well, that's why you build coalitions so you don't have to rely on the college kids.
Jack, you're at BC. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Boston College is incorrectly as it's named, you know, isn't much in Boston at all. But there hasn't really been a ton of on-campus organizing here because of that, as I don't think either candidate is planning on getting too many votes out of Chestnut Hill. But I haven't really seen a ton of college organizing in general on either the AEG campaign, which is expected, or the Woo campaign. But
that rare Woo Fuller voter in Chestnut Hill.
Yeah, but Boston, you know, it's a college city for sure. But I doubt that it would be very productive for any candidate to pour significant resources into campus organizing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, the neighborhood I'm looking at is West Roxbury that night, though I won't be looking at it that much because I've got to be reporting on the Newton elections. I think
West Roxbury will be really interesting in that District 6 race, just that race as a whole. I think it's gotten, as I think Jesse said, a lot of attention just because, you know, it's the most marquee, it's the easiest way to relitigate the 2016 primary. I guess, you know, you have your DSA-backed candidate versus Mary Tamer from West Roxbury, you know, and
feels more like the Ohio 11 primary.
Sure. Yeah. It's just confusing why those two seats, why those two neighborhoods are even in a district together in the first place. But I'm going to be watching that one closer than 3, 4, 7 for sure.
One other thing I also want to talk about before we go, because we are running out of time. What other elections are you guys looking at for the second? As I said, I'm looking at Newton, and this doesn't have to be Boston or Massachusetts. Any elections you're looking at? Let's start with you, Logan.
Yeah, definitely Newton. Obviously, yeah. I do live here. I think the mayor will be a pretty comfortable victory for Ruth Ann. Mm-hmm. She won the preliminary in a low turnout election. And for those who don't know, Newton, I'd say, is basically divided into the YIMBYs and the NIMBYs. And Ruth Ann's the kind of the YIMBY current mayor. And the NIMBYs tend to do better in low turnout elections. They won a city council special a few months ago. But the more voters generally, the more YIMBY candidates like Ruth Ann tend to win.
Jack, your election of choice to look at for aside from Boston?
I'm looking at Worcester City Council. this time around. Mayor Joe Petty is running against a Republican and will sail to probably a 40-point victory. But the city council, there's an open seat and also a Republican incumbent that progressives and moderates have been having a civil war over the past couple months. There's a really interesting and diverse slate of first-time candidates running for the seat and a couple of old-timers as well. So I think it'll be a great barometer. The next lower-key fight in the progressive versus moderate fight in Massachusetts Democratic politics, for sure, whoever wins that open seat.
And, of course, the man of many words, Jesse Hahn. What election are you looking at aside from Boston?
I'm looking at two mayoral elections outside of Massachusetts. One in Stamford, Connecticut, has really interested me because the Democrat Caroline Simmons is running against independent sports fans. We'll recognize this name, Bobby Valentine, mm-hmm. who is a much hated former Red Sox manager. And I'm looking at the Buffalo mayoral race, where the Democratic incumbent Byron Brown is running as a write-in independent because he lost the Democratic primary to newcomer India Walton. I'll be interested to see if Brown can pull off a Murkowski-style victory. That race has gotten so much attention online. And let's see what the people of Buffalo think.
One more race I'm looking at in Massachusetts is the Holyoke mayoral race. Josh Garcia has been running for many elections so far, and he's up against Mike Sullivan. Matt Zavafransky, my former boss, will definitely keep an eye on that. But for those who are also going to vote, please do vote. Your voice matters, your ballot matters, and your choices matter. Thank you for listening to The Cod Cabin. I'm Adam Bass. Joining me as always is Jack Leary, Logan Rabe, and Jesse Hahn. Thank you, good night, and go Braves.